We are going to think today on this 12th verse as touching our brother Apollos. When loving, compassionate people know something really good, they want to share it with others. They want to tell it. And they sometimes get a little excited about it because they just can't help it. Well, what a blessing it is to know the Lord and to possess some of His joy. When Brother Willie Williams was a student at Tennessee Temple years ago, he pastored a Baptist church in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area. And in that congregation was a sweet little old lady who loved the Lord. And after sitting under Brother Williams' ministry for some months, this dear little lady brought Brother Williams this book. It is a commentary on Romans, verse by verse, by William R. Newell. Newell was led to the Lord, having been an agnostic, brought to the Lord on a train as R.A. Torrey witnessed to him, and he became a great preacher of the gospel, and he wrote a hymn, well, a gospel song, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing what not it was for me to die at Calvary." At Calvary's the name. That's one of the things that he did. But he was a great man of God. I'm thankful for another little old lady, a sweet lady from Central Baptist Church in Decatur, who gave me this copy, Best Pickens. She has January 24th, 1952. I wasn't even in the world at that time, but I'm glad that she kept this book and gave it to a poor young preacher, because I've had it for a long time. And I am very thankful for it. Well, Brother Williams received that book from the lady, and being a busy student and pastor, he laid it aside. He said, "Well, I'll read it sometime." Well, the problem was with this little lady is she was a little persistent. And about once a month, she would ask him, "Brother Williams, have you read that book yet?" And he would say, "Well, not yet." And he tried to be as cordial as he could and under the circumstances. Well, as the months wore on, he came to expect to always hear her sometime during a month ask him if he had read the book. Well, in order to put away those inquiries, one day he just picked up the book and he started reading it in hope to end this lady's questions. Well, as he was beginning to read it, he noticed it was very interesting. "It's a good book," he was thinking as he read on. The transforming truths of the book of Romans took hold of his soul, and his ministry really caught fire. And she didn't really have to ask him, because she knew that he was reading the book. She was greatly blessed. At last, when he finished it, he approached her and, handing her the book, he said, "This book has really changed my life and ministry." And she replied, "I praise the Lord, for I knew it had power to change because it changed me." In closing out our study here in 1 Corinthians 16, we are going to consider today this 12th verse as touching our brother Apollos. And this verse speaks of Apollos, who had a good ministry, and it was by the kindness and by the tact of another woman and her husband, Aquila and Priscilla, who were used of the Lord to show him the way of the Lord more perfectly, as you read in Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 24, that his ministry was gloriously changed and made more effective. So as we look at Apollos' life, I want us to note three facts. First of all, he was a gifted Jew. Secondly, he was a gracious Jew, even to let just plain ordinary people tell him how he ought to be preaching. And then he was a great Jew. Lastly, first of all, he was a gifted Jew. We first meet Apollos in Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Another servant of the Lord suddenly burst on the stage like one of those Old Testament prophets coming, as it were, out of nowhere. But this man did come from somewhere. This eloquent Jew came out of Egypt from the vast Hebrew sector of Alexandria. There in that great city in North Africa, the enterprising Jews were bankers, merchants, and scholars. They obtained the finest education available on earth for their children, because it was not hard to do for Jews living in Alexandria, for there they had one of the world's finest libraries, and there they had schools of all kinds. They had Hebrew schools, they had Greek schools, they had all kinds of learning. And there were the great books in the library from Greece and Rome, from Egypt and India, all of the greatest literature that was available in that day was right there in Alexandria. Well, there was the famous synagogue where the 70 elders sat in that synagogue on 70 golden thrones. On weekdays, Apollos, as a little Jewish boy, learned to read Greek, studied Homer and Plato, as well as Moses and Isaiah. Philo, one of the famous Jewish writers, may have been one of Apollos' classmates while he was in Alexandria. In Alexandria, Apollos developed great depth of mind as he absorbed the best of world literature. His fluency of speech was tested in the schools, and he was improved to oratorical genius. A great mind and skill in oratory alone do not make one eloquent. What is needed? The sacred fire of grace from the Lord must accompany natural gifts, energize them, and motivate them in order to make a true servant of the Lord. So I tell you, Apollos was a gifted Jew. I want you to notice, secondly, that Apollos was a gracious Jew. And I think this is very evident from what happened in the home of Aquila and Priscilla. He had been blessed through the ministry of that Elijah-like prophet, John the Baptist. He not only knew the Old Testament scriptures thoroughly, he was thoroughly acquainted with the Old Testament scriptures. God's Spirit had opened to him the fulfillment of them in the Messiah, whom John preached has now come to earth. Apollos was boldly speaking in the synagogue among the Jews. He was diligently teaching the things of the Lord, showing the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures in Messiah Jesus. When Apollos came to Ephesus and preached, Priscilla and Aquila heard him in the Jewish synagogue. Paul had gone. He was preaching in another region. At that point, he was no longer in Ephesus. They were blessed and greatly encouraged that God had sent another one of His servants to their city. Well, Aquila and Priscilla, listening to Apollos, blessed, and yet they knew that there was a little more that this dear man of God needed. Having heard him preaching, they knew that he needed a fuller understanding of the gospel as Paul preached it. Now here's the great trial of grace and faith for the three of them. Aquila and Priscilla must be humble and gracious enough to present the fullness of Christ to Apollos in a way that is not offensive. Not as though they were superior to him. Not as though they were proud of their knowledge. So their very tone of voice, the expressions on their faces, must bespeak humility as they lovingly and graciously instruct Apollos in the privacy of their home. The Scripture says that they took him unto them, meaning they took him into privacy. Well, this is also a trial of grace and faith for Apollos. After all, for many years, he has studied diligently the Scriptures. He has pored over the Word of God hour after hour, diligently searching and learning the Word of God. He has rigorously applied himself to all his studies in the best schools of his day. He has been convinced that Messiah has come. With fire, like John the Baptist, he has preached for repentance and for reformation. His ministry has produced some of both. And now, is he about to have the way of the Lord expounded to him more perfectly by two poor common laborers, tent makers? That would certainly take great grace and much humility on Apollos' part. Well, the Lord is able to make all grace abound. How sweetly he gives a teachable spirit to his own people. Apollos was willing even to be taught by two mechanics, as it were, these tent makers. But some of his later hearers, you remember in Corinth, were not even willing to be taught by the great Apostle Paul. But here Apollos is willing to learn the way of the Lord more perfectly from a woman, Priscilla, and her husband, Aquila. Of course, it wouldn't have been proper for her to have instructed him publicly, but in the privacy of the home, they were able to have a good influence on Brother Apollos. Here is a lesson for us. Never let us think of ourselves as so accomplished. Never let us think of ourselves so high and mighty that we can't learn from even a little child. Didn't Jesus set a child in the midst and use that child as a teaching tool for his disciples? He said, except you become as a little child, you'll not enter into the kingdom. And isn't it a lesson that we need to learn, even as men, that there are some things that we need to be humble enough to learn from a woman, perhaps even our wife? Now, does that take humility? For us to learn from our wife, sometimes it's necessary. Thomas Boston was a very famous preacher. But before he became a famous preacher, there was an old soldier in his congregation who had a book. And that was The Marrow of Theology by old Fisher. And that old soldier loaned that book to Thomas Boston. And Boston, just like Brother Willie Williams, had to confess that his life and ministry were totally changed by reading that old Puritan book. Well, it did good to his ministry and brought great glory to God. Well, I want you to notice that Apollos was not only a gifted Jew and a gracious Jew, but he became quite a great Jew. He was a great Jew in that he knew the greatest Jew of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he sought with all his might to make him known. Apollos' power of expounding the Old Testament Scriptures and enforcing the obvious conclusions had an extraordinary power over both Jews and Gentiles. He convinced the Jews publicly. We read in Acts chapter 18. You can read there in verses 24 and following in Acts chapter 18. He convinced the Jews publicly that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the promised Messiah. His arguments were irresistible. Apollos helped both Jews and Gentile Christians to learn how to defend their faith so that they were themselves strong in faith and not easily taken off their beliefs by the subtle. He helped the believers see that the Scriptures clearly reveal who Christ is. When he went to Corinth, he helped much those who had believed through grace. We read in Acts chapter 18. Well, he helped the believers see that the Scriptures clearly reveal who Christ is. It's a very interesting thing. The clarity of Scripture. This is the very opposite of the teaching of Roman Catholicism. For Roman Catholicism through the ages has sadly taught that the Scriptures are ambiguous, unclear, and obscure. They say that we must not rely upon the Scriptures. We must instead rely on the testimony of the church. And they say, don't dare use the Scriptures to try to prove heretics wrong. Well, interesting, isn't it? That is what Apollos used to show some of the worst heretics in history that Christ Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the Messiah. For the Jews have made themselves some of the worst false teachers in history by rejection of their Messiah. And that's heresy. And it was the clarity of the Scriptures that Apollos used to show them the truth that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. Well, there's some important things that we need to remember from the life of Apollos. First of all, Apollos diligently used the knowledge that he had to serve the Lord. He was zealously preaching all that he knew through the ministry of John the Baptist in the synagogues. Well, many of us here know much more than Apollos did when he first entered Ephesus. Therefore, what excuse do we have if we do not endeavor to make Christ known? We must promote the extension of Christ's kingdom of grace or answer for our negligence. Secondly, Apollos showed great wisdom when he knew that there was an Apollos fan club in Corinth. He chose not to return, even though Paul had asked him repeatedly. He wanted Apollos to go there and minister. Well, Apollos had learned well the message of John the Baptist, even about Christ. What did John say about Christ? He must increase, but I must decrease. Apollos was not interested in fostering or adding any fuel to the flames of an Apollos fan club in Corinth. He chose not to go when invited several times to return. He applied those words of John the Baptist perfectly to himself in relation to Corinth. Never should a minister encourage a party or a sectarian spirit. Well, thirdly, may God give us grace, like Apollos, to learn even from a woman and her husband who were common laborers. John Bunyan, in his personal testimony, the book Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, told about overhearing several poor godly women speaking about Christ. At that time, he was religious but loss. I want to share with you a paragraph of what Bunyan said about those women that he learned from. He said, upon the good providence of God, on a certain day, he cast me to work in Bedford. In one of the streets of that town, I came where there were three or four poor women sitting at a door in the sun and talking about the things of God. And being now willing to hear their discourse, I drew near to hear what they said. For I was now a brisk talker myself in the matters of religion. But I may say I heard, but I understood not. For they were far above out of my reach and understanding. Their talk was about a new birth, the work of God in their hearts, also how they were convinced of their miserable state of nature. They talked how God had visited their souls with His love in the Lord Jesus, and with what words and promises they had been refreshed and comforted and supported against the temptations of the devil. And methought that they spoke as if joy did make them speak. They spoke with such pleasantness of Scripture language and with such an appearance of grace in all they said that they were to me as if they had found a new world, as if they were people that dwelt alone and were not to be reckoned among their neighbors. Therefore, I often made it my business to be going again and again into the company of these poor people, for I could not stay away. And presently I found two things within me which I did sometimes wonder at. The one was a great softness and tenderness coming into my heart. And the other was a great bending of my mind to a continual meditating on these good things which I had heard and read. By these things, my mind was now so turned that it lay like a horse leech at the vein, still crying out, "Give me! Give me!" He had heard these women speaking of true salvation. And he said, "That's something that I must have." Let's pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy servant Apollos. We praise Thee for giving him grace to learn the great truths from very simple people. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast done this down through the ages of Thy church for the glory of Thy name, for the good of Thy people, for the spreading of Thy holy gospel. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt truly create soul thirst for Thee this day. Bless all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.